All right, turn with me to Matthew 25. We'll be reading verses 31 through 46. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when we saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Visiting the sick, giving to the poor, feeding the hungry. Is this what Jesus is saying to us in these verses that we just read? And how many of us consider these works able to get us into the kingdom of God? And as we know, it is not the actual work that will help us, but it is the necessary attitudes and the necessary motives attached to doing these types of outward actions. You know, think about when we are sick, and we know during some of the worst possible hours of our life, if we've ever had fevers and flus, and imagine if we felt like that for the rest of our life, or if we had some kind of ailment that didn't go away, or just lasted for years and years. God does not put us through more than we can handle. But sometimes when no one's around, things can seem unbearable. I know I got a big scar on my arm. Here, I'm sure most of y'all have seen it. When I was quite young at work, I cut myself, and I had never had stitches or anything before, and went to the doctor, and standing there in front of the nurse, she came at me with a needle to put the needle in my cut. And I'm like, whoa, what are you doing? It hadn't hurt or anything. There was no pain, so I figured that needle was going to hurt worse than what it was. Didn't listen to her, and now I got a big, ugly scar on my arm because I was scared to get stitches. Since then, I've had surgeries for kidney stones and back problems, and I'm sure we've all had our problems, but these pains can last and be nagging to us. I'm sure most of us know Sister Arlene and her pain and her sufferings. How terrible it is for us to be sick. How terrible it is to sit in a place with no family. You know, when I used to go visit Arlene, she had told me that the ecclesia was her only family. And she said this with tears. Brothers and sisters, visiting the sick and the needy, The needy isn't always referring to food and clothes, but someone to give an ear, or as I've learned, to even rub someone's feet. That's what Arlene liked. She liked her feet to be rubbed. Sounds kind of gross, but I did it. Whatever it takes to make someone else feel good for the time that we are there. To relieve their minds from their daily pains and their daily stresses that one day we ourselves too will soon feel as we continue to grow old. Just can't see how my sister wife, Dee, is going to be pushing a wheelchair around with a big old man such as myself and taking care of children in 10 more years. Or some of us might have to be in a scooter, pushing each other around in chairs. Being sick is very humbling, and we are limited in our mobility and our thinking. And we sometimes are sick enough that people or even machines are the only thing that will keep us alive. But as we know, it is really God and our faith. We are powerless when we get sick because it is part of God's curse on man and the earth. Genesis 3:17, "In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all of the days of thy life." And as I grow older, I notice that our days of mortality are truly of sorrow. But our hope in the immortality that we might partake of, confirmed by the blood of the covenant, causes us to press on towards doing things that are not always pleasing to our flesh. I said at the beginning, it is not a work, but it is an attitude or a feeling of love that we are willing to try and to help someone feel better, even though our precious time will have to be sacrificed. Again, I'll read verses 44 and 45 in Matthew 25. 44 and 45. "Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me." If Jesus was laying in a bed sick in Tampa, could you find the time to go and visit? I always have excuses why I don't visit people more, but there is none. When we're sick, we always want people to come and notice that we're sick or do something to notice to help us feel better. And I think that we all want to be catered to when we are sick. It's probably a natural desire. But what if we didn't get better? What about all of our responsibilities if we became lame, paralyzed, diseased? These responsibilities that we have wouldn't matter because I couldn't do them. Brothers and sisters, I would be counting on all of you to help me and my family, just as your hope should be also. That we honestly care enough one for another to be there in the times of need. But again, as we are all blessed with pretty good health, we that are whole now should be visiting the sick and the poor. Remember, these are the people susceptible to God's words because of the relief that we can bring to one's sufferings. God's words can heal. Matthew 26:41. "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And as we know, the spirit indeed is willing, and our flesh is very weak. And does this sound like any of us? Our own wants are going to be satisfied, even though our brothers and sisters are suffering. And even though many people raise money for food and health items, trying to make a difference in the world, the sick and the poor grow at more of an alarming rate. More diseases, more viruses are being found, which man has no defense against. Stop by a local hospital and visit the cancer ward. And if your spirit is willing, Or if you go to one of the many nursing homes around Central Florida and witness all of the lonely people, maybe something we should do as an ecclesia. Jesus spent much of his time dealing with these kind of people, who most of us, including myself, might be disgusted with. What a beautiful personality Christ had, that he could see through nasty sores and dirt, through ragged clothes on people that he had never met, and yet love them and care for them as he had known them all of his life. Matthew 9:10-13. Matthew 9:10-13. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I don't think that we can appreciate the need or the desire to be cured from a sickness unless we ourselves have been in that place. And I'm not talking about a cold, but about a life-threatening situation. If our minds and our bodies are mentally and physically and spiritually able, we are considered whole, and therefore need to be with them whom are not, especially the ones who need to be saved from the powers of the grave. Visiting ones who need comfort is an act of kindness that, when you read through much of the life of Jesus on earth, he is always helping and healing and ministering to these types of people. And I believe Jesus felt the suffering for them. Although he was not diseased himself, he could relate, being the Son of Man and tasting death for all of mankind. He was able to use his empathy and his sensitivity for more than us in order to understand their hopelessness. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And also, chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. And though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. Now, I don't know if Jesus ever got sick, but I know he knew all about suffering. And instead of people coming to aid to him, as they should have been, they were coming to heal themselves. As he traveled, he went to places with the purpose of preaching in their synagogues, but he visits with the sick, brought about many people to hear his truthful words. In Mark 1, starting at verse 35. Mark 1:35-45. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Again, Jesus was with the sick and the poor most of his life because he wanted to. It brought great joy to him when he would see how joyous and believing these healed people were. Of course, he would want to do it again. And the people who witnessed or were told by a witness to an event miraculous as this, as a healing, would hopefully pursue after his message also. And we know that they did, because thousands were saved. When we read his words of his visits with the sick people, do we feel the compassion that Jesus moved with? We believe the scriptures, and we're supposed to live our lives as Christ did, but do we? Luke 4. Starting at verse 16, Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And we can keep on reading all the way down to 45, but we're not going to do that, or 44. He was with the sick and the poor most of his life, again, because he wanted to. And in verse 29 of what we just read, this man's life, he has healed many, many people with all of the different kinds of sicknesses and diseases. Do we not do these things Jesus did? Although we can't heal, we can't comfort, and we can comfort in other ways, because we ourselves do not want to be spiritually sick. Leprosy was contagious. Fevers. But he still even touched these people. And we know under the law that he was not even supposed to. I've looked up a couple definitions of a few of the illnesses Jesus dealt with. And these come from the Tabus Cyclopedic Medical Dictionary. Boils, a swelling, a furuncle, an acute circumscribed inflammation, or the subcutaneous layers of the skin, gland, or hair follicle. The deeper tissue inflammation is so severe that blood clots and the vessels in the center dies. This is the cause of the acuteness of the pain. A fever, elevation of temperature above the normal. Fever is the result of the breakdown of bacterial proteins of toxins liberated by the disease organisms which affect the heat regulatory centers, could cause severe hemorrhaging. Palsy, temporary or permanent loss of sensation or loss of ability to move or to control movement. Epilepsy, a recurrent disorder of cerebral function characterized by sudden brief attacks of altered consciousness. Convulsive seizures are the most common attacks. And there are many more sicknesses, but Jesus wasn't worried about himself getting sick, but for the comfort of these others that were in need of his Father's merciful hand. Does not God protect the ones that bring glory to him? Exodus 15, verse 26. And said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And then also Psalms 91. Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Lord, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. When we strive to be like Christ, we fail because we again are usually concerned with how we feel and of our own growing pains. And this is why his life was so unique, in that through all of his pain and through all of his suffering, he still was reaching out to others, trying to make them feel better. And as we know, even on the cross. Do we set out each of our day's journeys, planning on doing nothing but helping others? Have we ever even sacrificed one day of our life to do nothing but to visit the sick or to help out the poor? I know that I am disappointed in my efforts and not following the example of Christ to be a giver of my time and of all of my help to those that are in need. These are the people who will listen to anything that we can tell them, which will possibly bring the joy and the comfort to their heart, as we have all received. Now, again, I'm not starting a crusade to visit all people, sick people around the world, unless God directs me that way, but I do think that I could do more. I know I want sympathy when I am sick, so do unto others as you would have others do unto you. 1 Corinthians 12, 24 through 27. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. In Acts 20, verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Again, I had said at the start of my word that it is not the act of the visitation that pleases God. It is the motives and the attitude in which we approach all that we do and say. Are we just going so it looks good for someone else? Or do we feel concerned enough for others to want to make someone happy? Or are we going because it's our turn again? Or can we not wait to put a smile on someone's face? When we walk into the room to see someone sick, doesn't their face always light up? We talk about the kingdom age and they get uplifted. As the angels are watching over us, they are there with all of the sick also. And the word of God, which is only a reach away. James 5, verses 14 through 16. Familiar words. James 5, 14 through 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the ecclesia and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer for our brothers and sisters who are sick, that they may be healed and comforted. Our prayer, the ones that are faithful, can save the sick. Let them pray over him, meaning for us to be there is even better yet. Strong's had for a visit a few meanings. In the Hebrew pronounced, paw, cod, to oversee, to muster, to charge, to care for, to go see, and join, and to remember. All well fitting for our duty as a believer. For not only ones who we know, which is a given, but for those, them also, whom we don't know. Matthew 25 again, verses 40 through 46. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. In closing, what I would like to do is to read a few more verses that depict a future time when sickness and disease will be no more. And this is the time that we are all working for, that is soon to come upon this earth. Let each of us comfort one another with God's words till he sends his Son upon the earth to judge his people. A couple in Isaiah 25:8. Isaiah 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. 35, verse 10, Isaiah. Isaiah 35, 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. 51:11. Isaiah 51:11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. 60, verse 20. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. And 65:19. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. A couple more. Jeremiah 31:12. Jeremiah 31:12. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. And finally, Revelation 7, verse 17. Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more sorrow, no more sickness and disease, no more suffering. What a time to look forward to live in. Let us praise God for all that He has done for us, and may He bless each of us to be granted a part in His everlasting kingdom. Come to the memorial portion of our service. We will stand and sing hymn number 153. By Christ redeemed and Christ restored, we keep the memory adored. Hymn number 153.